Well, I was not able to attend Michael Rice's workshops. I understand they were excellent, and I hope that what I say will be complimentary to some of what Michael Rice talked about. Okay, the subject today is our spiritual life and how body practices or physical practices can enhance that. So by physical practices, I'm meaning things like breath work, making sounds, Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga. There are many others, everything from sweat lodges, sun dance, to Reiki, massage, the whirling of certain Sufi groups, ecstatic dancing, all of these, they're all complementary. They all help us, and they work with a stillness practice. If you have a sitting practice, or just sitting in nature, any kind of quiet practice. And a practice is very important, something we do intentionally, regularly. We may have a goal, we may not have a spiritual goal, but we all would like to have more peace in our lives. Most of us would like to have more ease. And then there's certain things like that we tend to think of with our spiritual life, like deeper seeing, more awareness, a relationship with reality, dropping veils of illusion. Some people think of it as connection, the oneness, feeling the oneness. So whether we have those as a goal or we're kind of drawn that way, a regular practice really helps that. And it helps that not only because intention is powerful and tends to bring things into reality, but a regular practice, it makes us feel more at ease with what we're doing. Our energy flows more freely that way. And for many of us, our practice is meditation. Something quiet and still. And it really is a wonderful practice. It's irreplaceable. It does tend to bring about quietness, connection, insights. And yet sometimes we don't feel it's helping us. Some people don't like to meditate, or they don't feel it works for them. They don't get quiet. And other people love meditation, but they feel like they look at their lives and their goals and they think maybe they could bring something else in to complement their sitting practice. So body practices in general, they can be very similar to sitting meditation, and then they're different in some ways. It's surprising how a body practice can also make us very quiet inside. And they can also bring about a sense of connection.
I'm doing body practice, okay?
Are you okay?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
For some reason, if I set this down.
Okay. Sometimes you can be having something that's disturbing you. Maybe you can't sleep. And you get up and you try to meditate and you just can't get quiet. But if you do your Tai Chi routine, your Qigong routine, maybe some alternate nostril breathing, some chanting, it can really quiet you and calm you. And it's very beneficial. And then the body practices work on an energetic level. Of Of course, meditation changes us energetically also, but with body practices, you can actually focus more clearly and specifically on certain parts of your body or the energy movement in your body. You can become aware of how the energy is moving. You can become more aware of the energy outside of you and how the energies move in and out. And that's very beneficial. And then in a lot of body practices, there are subtle energies that we're not aware of. And they're purifying and refining our whole being, our whole essence. So we also need the body to function well. So if we have some spiritual goals or we'd like to feel more connected, more aware, it helps to have some energy. And body practices can do that. We can be more healthy, and I'm including everything to do with the body. Eating good food, for example, breathing fully. So the energy moving more smoothly through the body can help us on all levels. And energy awareness, we can more see specifically how we're blocked and tense in our body, and it helps those things to start to release. And when we have those energies more available, they can move us into other levels where we can use those energies to transform emotions and on other levels also, spiritual levels. Okay. So I'll start just by briefly mentioning diet, which I think Michael Rice was going to mention. And of course, it's very important to eat good food, whatever we decide to eat, to make sure it's healthy and good. It's also important to be aware of how food affects you, how different food affects you. For example, you might compare eating animal products to plant products. How do they affect you? For me, animal products are a little more grounding. There's a different energy to them. Plant products might affect us differently. It might be a little more lighter feeling. It depends on what you want. It all depends always on listening to yourself, respecting your inner voice, paying attention to what you eat is an example of that. And another thing to do about food is, if you do have a meditation practice, notice how different foods affect your meditation practice. And also how much and when you eat and when you meditate, and see how that works for you. I remember sitting at one retreat after breakfast, and my heart was really pounding. Boom, boom, boom. What is this? And then I was thinking, I think that pure maple syrup wasn't pure. I don't eat refined sugar, so it's like, whoa, what's going on here? Boom. But it did go away. It was fine. It's good to pay attention to things like that. Okay. And then on the subject of water, a lot of us could drink more water. Not everyone. There again, there's not one rule for everyone or one book for everyone. And then there's breathing. Not to say deep breathing, which can lead to hyperventilating or getting things out of balance in your body, but full breathing is really important. And here posture is really good to pay attention to. A lot of us tend to, we do this, we're slumping a nice way to deal with that is to do this. But when we have good posture, we're opening. Energies can flow. All the systems of our body work better. Not to mention we're supporting our head, our organs. Posture is important. I would like to mention a really good breath that we can practice. You can do it with me if you want to or not. It's the alternate nostril breathing. And those of you who are familiar with yoga know this is very popular in yoga. It's a very gentle breath. It's not difficult to remember. It's easy in the sense that we don't need to count or time things, balance the inhalation with the exhalation. We don't need to hold the breath. It's completely relaxed. It's very calm. And the effect of the breathing, this particular breath, is to relax and relieve stress. And that's mostly because we tend to be a little stressed. The breath also works if we are feeling lethargic. It can help to energize us. So it's balancing. We're balancing the systems of our body. Now, traditionally, it was used this way to balance and harmonize and purify the body. Now science also is telling us about how the different hemispheres are connected with the nostrils, and supposedly the left nostril connected with the right brain, the right nostril with the left, and the alternate nostril breathing is balancing the active with the relaxed part of the body, the part, the right nostril associated with wanting to be more alert, the left nostril with relaxing and relieving stress. So that's what science is telling us. And then also on a more esoteric level, the two energy channels that run up alongside the spine, this breath is supposed to gradually work on cleansing and purifying them. So we can know that we're not just helping our body, but we're gradually working on purifying different levels. So the way this works is basically we are going to be exhaling and inhaling through each nostril separately. So we'll be inhaling through both nostrils, closing the right, and exhaling through the left, and inhaling through the same one. Then we'll switch sides and exhale and inhale. If you want to try it with me, exhaling through the left and inhaling through the left and switching sides, exhaling through the right and inhaling through the right and closing the right nostril, exhaling through the left, and we'll finish. And we'll finish there. This might not be noticeable right away, but it has a very calming and relaxing effect, unless, as I said, you're actually feeling lethargic. Okay. So I'd like to talk about sound as a practice. There's a lot of exciting work being done with sound. And it's an ancient practice and very new. It's ancient in the sense of chanting and producing mantras, various sounds through the body. And these have long been considered as purifying and in general, moving our energies towards awakening. On a less cultural level, sounds are being worked with now on a vibrational level, so people can produce exact frequencies for healing and frequencies for relaxing and releasing emotional tensions. Now, I like working with making sounds myself rather than using a machine. And there's so many different sound practices that you can use if you're interested in this. If you're interested in mantras from the yoga perspective, there's a lot of cultural things attached to various sound practices, so it depends on whether you want to embrace those cultural aspects or if you prefer to look at the sound as helping you without all that cultural addition. There was one Zen retreat that we went to where, if you've been to a Zen retreat, they work with sound quite a bit. They have a huge metal bowl that they can ring it for a long time, do a whole lot of it, or a little bit. They have a skull that they bang with a wooden mallet, and they do a lot of chanting. And all these sounds are designed to bypass the thinking mind and move directly to transforming our energies and our being on another level, like so many practices that are designed to go beyond the thinking mind. Now, a lot of the traditional practices, there's a lot of dogma attached, and a lot of them are repeated what has been taught down through hundreds or thousands of years, and the practices have not been kept alive. So always we need to use our inner knowing and pay attention to what's actually working for us. One way that people work with sound is with crystal bowls or metal bowls. And you can either use these yourselves or you can go to a practitioner who uses a different range of sizes of bowls and rings them in a pattern that works on the energies in your body. Different vibrations are associated with different energies in your body, different areas of your body, and things that have been locked in, tensions, prejudices, assumptions, all these things are locked into our cells, and different vibrations can help them. And not only different vibrations, but actually different sounds. So the sounds that I've been working with lately are sounds that I make myself. For example, the sound of ah. Ah. So the sound of ah is an opening sound, a releasing sound. And it's also a sound that is associated with joy. And it can help to balance and harmonize the way joy is affecting us in our lives if we haven't had enough of it. I really don't know whether it's possible to have too much joy. Maybe that is possible. The sound of ah is also associated with pride and arrogance. So when we work with the sound of ah, we're balancing the joy aspect and also the aspect, perhaps, are we too arrogant? Are we too prideful? Or perhaps we need more pride. So the sound is very balancing in that way. And this applies to all sounds that we can make with our bodies. So I thought maybe at the end we would work with an ah sound. I want to mention yoga that I've practiced for many years, though lately I do more Qigong. And yoga, as we know it today, is physical postures. It was originally, if you can trace things originally, yoga is really lost in the mist of time, the origin of it, as is Qigong. But it was a whole system with the goal of union, everything from ethics all the way to a meditation practice for union. So moving the body is part of that. And it was taught and used in that context. And my feeling, there are different traditions, but what resonates with me is that the yoga postures were developed out of states of deep meditation and insight. And these postures were spontaneously manifested both to release tensions from long sitting and also to activate certain channels in the body. A lot of people who've done yoga are aware of one thing you can do with your tongue, putting the tongue on the roof of your mouth, which completes one of the circuits in the body. So various things were manifested that people learned in states of meditation. So this is the history of yoga, but as we practice it today, a large benefit of it is relaxation and tension release. So we know that there's normally a deep relaxation at the end of a yoga practice. And this is one of its main benefits. After we've worked on the body, doing our stretches and releasing some tensions, remembering to drink water and rest and let all those toxins come out, we do a deep relaxation and let the benefits of that move through our body. But also, there's a general movement with yoga practice toward making us more peaceful in our whole lives. And that peacefulness helps our meditation practice, and it helps on levels we're not aware of that are moving us towards more deeper seeing and more connection. Yoga does involve getting up and down from the floor normally. You can find a chair yoga practice sometimes, but normally it's getting up and down off the floor, which you can modify to suit yourself, but that is a factor for a lot of people. Qigong is different. Normally it's practiced standing, and it's more focused on working with the body, in the sense that we're focusing on how energy moves in the body and learning to strengthen that energy, purify it, balance it, move it, direct it, maybe even be able to help others. And if you go to a Qigong class, normally you'll go through a series of movements. It's not a flowing form like Tai Chi. And they work on the energy lines in the body, the energy centers. So when you look into the world of Qigong, it's also very culturally affected. Since it came from China, there's a lot of Chinese influences. And it's becoming more westernized now, so it all depends on what you're looking for. It's good to, again, use our inner awareness and there are a lot of benefits to the ancient ways of practicing things, and then there are benefits to the Western way. So I don't need to go into that too much. Qigong is a practice that you can work on any level, all the way from some simple body exercises to sitting meditation, breathing, very vigorous practices like Kung Fu, standing meditation, and it's all working towards union. As in yoga, you don't need to practice that way. You can practice in a way that's good for your body. And you can also, if you feel that you have cleaned out your energy lines and centers and you'd like to work on some emotional cleansing, you can work on that. You can do sitting meditation and let this energy that you've made available move into your meditation practice. I wonder if I'll be able to demonstrate a little bit. Will I be able to? I could take it off.
Oh, because you're not going to be talking.
I could talk.